ॐ जातवेदसे सुनवामसो मम राति यतो निदहाति वेदः ॐ जातवेदसे सुनवाम जातवेदसे सुनवाम
से टू टाइम्स आफ्टर मी विल गेट दिस स्वरम
जातवेदसे सुनवाम सोम मराति यतो सोम मराति यतो सोम मराति यतो निदहाति वेदः निदहाति वेदः निदहाति वेदः स नः पर्षदति स नः पर्षदति स नः पर्षदति पश्यदति दुर्गाणि विश्वा
दुर्गाणि विश्वा
दुर्गाणि विश्वा नावेव सिन्धुम् दुरितात्यग्निः
नावेव सिन्धुम् दुरितात्यग्निः नावेव सिन्धुम् दुरितात्यग्निः
तामग्निवर्णाम् तपसा ज्वलन्तीम्
तपसा ज्वलन्तीम्
तपसा ज्वलन्तीम् वैरोचनीम्
वैरोचनीम्
वैरोचनीम् कर्मफलेषु जुष्टाम्
कर्मफलेषु जुष्टाम् कर्मफलेषु जुष्टाम्
दुर्गाम् देवीम् शरणमहम् प्रपद्ये
दुर्गाम् देवीम् शरणमहम् प्रपद्ये दुर्गाम् देवीम् शरणमहम् प्रपद्ये
सुतरसितरसे नमः
सुतरसितरसे नमः
सुतरसितरसे नमः अग्ने त्वम् पारयानव्यो
अग्ने त्वम् पारयानव्यो अग्ने त्वम् पारयानव्यो
अस्मान्
अस्मान्
अस्मान् स्वस्तिभिरति
स्वस्तिभिरति स्वस्तिभिरति
अस्मान् स्वस्तिभिरति
अस्मान् स्वस्तिभिरति अस्मान् स्वस्तिभिरति
दुर्गाणि विश्वा
दुर्गाणि विश्वा दुर्गाणि विश्वा
पूश्च पृथ्वी
पूश्च पृथ्वी पूश्च पृथ्वी
बहुलान उर्वी
बहुलान उर्वी बहुलान उर्वी
भवतो कायतनयाय शय्योः
भवतो कायतनयाय शय्योः भवतो कायतनयाय शय्योः
विश्वानिनो दुर्गः
विश्वानिनो दुर्गः विश्वानिनो दुर्गः
जातवेदसिन्धुन्ननावा
जातवेदसिन्धुन्ननावा
जातवेदसिन्धुन्ननावा दुरितातिपर्षि
दुरितातिपर्षि
दुरितातिपर्षि अग्ने अत्रिवन्
अग्ने अत्रिवन्
अग्ने अत्रिवन् मनसा
मनसा
मनसा अग्ने अत्रिवन् मनसा
अग्ने अत्रिवन् मनसा
गृणा अस्माकम् गृणानो स्वाकम् गृणानो स्वाकम् अग्ने अत्रिवन्मनस
अग्ने अत्रिवन्मनस अग्ने अत्रिवन्मनस
गृणानो स्वाकम्
गृणानो स्वाकम्
बोध्यवितातनूनाम्
बोध्यवितातनूनाम् बोध्यवितातनूनाम्
पृतनाजितगम्
पृतनाजितगम् पृतनाजितगम्
पृतनाजितगम्
पृतनाजितगम्
सहमानमुग्रमग्निगम्
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 हुवेम
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 परमात्सदस्थात्
परमात्सदस्थात् परमात्सदस्थात्
सनः पर्षदति
सनः पर्षदति सनः पर्षदति
दुर्गाणि विश्वा
दुर्गाणि विश्वा
दुर्गाणि विश्वा क्षामदेवो
क्षामदेवो
क्षामदेवो अतिदुरितात्यग्निः
अतिदुरितात्यग्निः
अतिदुरितात्यग्निः प्रत्नोषि कमीड्यो
प्रत्नोषि कमीड्यो
प्रत्नोषि कमीड्यो अध्वरेषु
अध्वरेषु
अध्वरेषु सनाच्च होता
सनाच्च होता सनाच्च होता
नव्यश्च सत्सि
नव्यश्च सत्सि नव्यश्च सत्सि
स्वाञ्चाग्ने
स्वाञ्चाग्ने
स्वाञ्चाग्ने स्वाञ्चाग्ने
स्वाञ्चाग्ने
तनुवम्
तनुवम्
तनुवम् विप्रयस्वास्मभ्यं च
विप्रयस्वास्मभ्यं च
पिप्रयस्वास्मभ्यं च सौभगमायजस्व
सौभगमायजस्व
सौभगमायजस्व गोभिर्जुष्टमयुजो
गोभिर्जुष्टमयुजो गोभिर्जुष्टमयुजो
निषिक्तम्
निषिक्तम्
निषिक्तम् तवेन्द्र
तवेन्द्र
विष्णोरनु सञ्चरेम
विष्णोरनु सञ्चरेम विष्णोरनु सञ्चरेम
नाकस्य
नाकस्य
नाकस्य पृष्ठमभिसंवसन
पृष्ठमभिसंवसन पृष्ठमभिसंवसन
पृष्ठमभिसंवसन
पृष्ठमभिसंवसन
वैष्णवीम्
वैष्णवीम्
वैष्णवीम् लोक इह मादयन्ताम्
लोक इह मादयन्ताम् लोक इह मादयन्ताम्
वैष्णवीम् लोक इह मादयन्ताम्
वैष्णवीम् लोक इह मादयन्ताम्
कात्यायनाय
विद्महे कात्यायनाय विद्महे கன்யாகுமரி
தன்னோ துர்கே பிரச்சோதயாத் ஓம் சாந்தி 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 Without having understood a vastu, a given thing, you cannot say whether that vastu is time bound or not, a timeless. That is why the word chit helps you to, that the word chit, which implies, reveals the swarupam of the reality being pure consciousness, and to understand that swarupam revealed by the word of chit, now you arrive at using these methods. Use these methods and you understand, and there you see, oh, that vastu is eternal. So this timelessness, then you understand how that vastu is all pervasive. We saw these two things, no? Vastu is beginningless, endless, changeless. Therefore it is eternal. And we also saw that because that how that vastu is spatially also limitless. When you say eternal, you understood the timelessness of the vastu. And you also see, when you understand timelessness of the vastu, then you also see how the vastu itself, what then you think of the object called time, the factor called time. Then you see, oh, time also is, then you analyze the time. What is this time all about? The time is relative. You have to always see that time has to be always go with something. Therefore, time is relative means what? The time also has a beginning. There is a time when the time is not there. There is a time when the time is. There is a time. Understand? We see the time also subject to time bound. Therefore, time itself is something which is constantly flowing in eternal timeless reality. Understand? The timeless in timeless reality, the time is flowing. This is how you understand. See all these things, beginninglessness, endlessness, changelessness, thereby eternity of the reality. In the eternity, when you say it, you also see the timelessness is the nature of, okay, reality. Kalam innai parambarulin swarupam. Then you say how the all-pervasiveness being the nature of the reality. How reality is all-pervasive. Timelessness, now we say all-pervasiveness. Sarva vyapakatvam. So nityatvam, you say, then we all these words Shastram uses. Once you know what is, how chaitanyam, what the word chaitanyam is, means. No, that doesn't mean actually, only what the word chaitanyam reveals or implies. Because means directly I had it show that. Doesn't directly show. That is what it implies, okay? The word chaitanyam, the word chit, implies, it reveals the swarupam of the atma. Once you understood that, then you see how, you know, nityatvam of the atma. And atma is nityaha. Now, all these words in Bhagavad Gita, second chapter, when you are going to read, you will see these words. Nitya sarvagata sthanoho achaloyam sanatanaha. Nityaha, sarvagataha, nasthanuhu, achalaha, sanatanaha. All these words, every word talk about, what do you understand? Nityaha, not timeless, eternal, everlasting. You have to see that. Then achalaha, nityaha. Then sarvagataha. Sarvagataha is all-pervasive. Sarva-vyapakatvat. Sarvagatatvat, sarvagataha. Because due to its all-pervasiveness, it is said to be, reality is said to be all-pervasive. How it pervades everything? We talk about the all-pervasiveness. You have already seen time factor. You have to talk about the space factor. What is space? Space is something again very big. Why? Because space is spatially limitless. How this reality? Understand? How this reality, which you have understood in terms of its swarupam as pure knowledge, the source of knowledge, as the knower, okay, we have understood. Now, that vastu also is spatially limitless. So, all pervasiveness, if is the nature of the reality, means it is spatially limitless. That means it accommodates even the all pervasive, all accommodative space. It accommodates even the all accommodative space. That means how it pervades everything. How does consciousness pervade everything? Consciousness is the subtlest, okay? Subtler than the subtlest. So it pervades everything. There's a law. Okay, anything subtle, the subtler the vastu, more pervasive it is. It's a simple thing. But even we don't need to do that also. We don't need to apply that thing also. Subtler the vastu, more pervasive it is. It's a general law. But here we can say, just any object of knowledge, okay, like an opaque object has its existence in the light. Similarly, every object of knowledge has its being in the knowledge. It has no existence independent of the knowledge. If it's pervaded by the knowledge, and that knowledge also is what? Known is pervaded by the knowledge. The knowledge is a vritti which does not exist outside of the pure knowledge. Okay, the vritti jnanam, vritti knowledge, the thought form knowledge does not exist outside of the pure knowledge, the consciousness. Therefore, consciousness pervades the knowledge, through that consciousness pervades every vastu. Therefore, consciousness is all pervasive. All pervasiveness is the nature of the reality. Look at this. Chit, without having understood chit, nothing can be understood. So, for consciousness, because it is spatially limitless, if it is all pervasive, it is spatially also limitless. Time-wise limitless, and spatially also is what now? Limitless. Understand? So, timelessness helps you to understand how it is time-wise unlimited, not subject to time, not bound by time, and spatially all pervasiveness helps to understand spatially also limitless. Okay, then if spatially, then next to, look at the next word comes afterwards. Sarvagataha. Nityaha, sarvagataha, okay, eternal, time-wise limitless. Sarvagataha, all pervasive, spatially limitless. Then you can say, sthanuhu. Sthanuhu. Okay? Reality is sthanuhu. Sthanuhu means what? Like us know, unmoving. Unmoving. Sthanuhu means unmoving actually. That which does not move or shake. Everything moves in awareness. But the awareness as such does not move. And Shankara says, why awareness cannot move? Because if it is located somewhere, look at this, anything which is located in other place, now if it doesn't fill the whole place, then it can move like this. Understand? Suppose this is, now this is here, my finger is there, there's a lot of space. My finger doesn't fill the entire space here. Now, therefore, I can move here. For the movement to take place, there must be some space. Okay? Without space, moving is not possible. Therefore, here we say, everything exists in awareness. And awareness is no place where awareness is not. Because that's why we say, this awareness being all pervasive, all filling, purnaha, purayati iti purnaha, purushe ushati iti purnaha, purushaha, Pura ushati iti purushaha. Now, all these beautiful words I tell you, purushaha, purnaha. No? Puritam bhavati iti purnaha. That which fills everything. Therefore, what happened? It can't move. Can awareness move? Every movement, every motion takes place in awareness. Pure awareness as such does not move. Understand? Unmoving. So, nityaha sarvagataha sthanuhu. Understand?
not only unmoving, achaloyam sanatanaha achalaha. Oh, Swayam does not move. Can you move the reality? Can you push it like this? What? There's no second awareness. Look at this. There's no second thing other than the reality. There's no second reality. Understand? There are so many things. Everything is what? Reality. But reality is not anything. Everything has its existence in awareness. So everything is awareness. But awareness is not anything. Because self-existent. Understand? You say here. Therefore, awareness is not dependent on any of the objects which have their existence in awareness. Whether the object exists or not, awareness is always. Awareness only brings to light the objects. See, Swarupam being knowledge, knowing. Look at this. The reality, Swarupam of the reality being knowledge, knowing. It only gives, lends existence to objects in terms of knowing. So awareness, whether object is there, object is not there. Like you suppose the table is here, the light brings the table to light. The table is not there, light, okay, nothing happens to light. Light again illumines what? The table being not there. It illumines the absence of table. Understand? Therefore, similarly, whether the objects are there or not, awareness, whether the mind is there, mind is not there, knowledge is there, knowledge is not there, whatever is there, everything has its existence in pure awareness, whereas awareness is always there. Awareness is not dependent on the known objects. The pure knowledge is not dependent on the objects, okay, which have their being, existence in awareness, which become known in awareness. And you say objects which become known in awareness means, I mean everything. The mind, sense powers, powers, everything, subtle and gross, everything I mean. Awareness is not dependent on the objects which become known. The pure knowledge is not dependent on the objects which become known in pure knowledge. For its existence. Therefore we say, this everything is pure awareness. You have to say this. How do you say everything is pure awareness? Because pure awareness exists independent of the objects which become known in pure awareness. The pure, I'm putting all these three words, the pure knowledge exists independent of the objects which become known in pure knowledge. Understand? Whereas the objects which become known in pure knowledge are dependent on pure knowledge for their existence. In order to be known, they are dependent on what? The pure knowledge. Just as the opaque object is dependent on the light for its existence in order to come to light. The opaque object is dependent on light in order to come to light. Thereby, the opaque object is dependent on the light for its existence. Similarly, all the objects, when you say all the objects means what? Everything in this jagat, including knowledge, including the vritti, antakarna vritti, jnanam, including the mind, okay, everything in this jagat now becomes becomes existent only when it is known, understand? And it becomes known. In order to be known, thereby, in order to come into being, in order to be existent, dependent on what? Awareness, pure knowledge. Therefore, we have to say, this pure knowledge, existence of pure knowledge, is the existence of the objects which become known in pure knowledge.
Therefore, we can say the pure knowledge is as good as the cause. The objects which become known in knowledge are as good as the effects. Understand? Once you say cause and effect, cause, there's no distance between cause and effect. Look at this. Next step. Do you get what I say? What I'm saying? Once you say cause and effect, there's no distance between the cause and the effect. Cause is not the effect, but the effect is nothing but the cause. Therefore, what do you say to say? Every object, everything which exists in this universe. Now, we don't need to say subject object also. Everything which exists in this universe, every existent thing, okay, has its existence, okay, not outside of awareness. Is it clear now? Therefore, everything is what now? Awareness. I always, in the class, I used to give this example. The opaque object, it has its being, comes to light only in the presence of light. And if it doesn't come to light, it is not known. It is as good as non-existent. Therefore, existence of light is the existence of the opaque object. Therefore, we can say, existence of cause is the existence of the effect. Therefore, light is not the cause directly, but light is as good as the cause. Opaque object which comes to light is as good as the effect. And cause and effect, there can never be distance between cause and effect. Therefore, there's no distance between the illumined object and the illumining light. Therefore, every effect is definitely the cause, but the cause is not the effect. Water is not the wave, but the wave is water. Similarly, no object is light, but every object is what? Light is not any of the objects, but every object what? Reflects what? Light. Amazing, isn't it? That is how you have to understand. Now we say this pure knowledge, the Chid Vastu, the Chaitanyam, the pure knowledge, is not dependent on any of the objects which become known in its existence, in its presence. Whereas every object is dependent on the awareness to come to light for its existence. Therefore, the pure knowledge is as good as the cause. The objects which become known in pure knowledge are as good as the effects. Therefore, there's no distance between the pure awareness and the objects which are known. Understand? Which come to light in a pure knowledge. In fact, pure knowledge is not any of the objects, but every object reflects pure awareness. Therefore, understand? We have to say here, the existence of everything is what? Pure awareness. Therefore, Sat. This Chit is Sat. Is it clear now? Chit is Sat. You have to wait for this to come to Chit Sat. Chaitanyam is Nityaha, eternal, timeless. Sarvagataha, all pervasive, spatial, limitless. And now you say, existence. Therefore, Sat means existence. If you don't see this, all pervasive and timelessness you can't understand, you can really not understand the Sat, Satta. Existence. Oh, now if you ask, the existence of every object is what? Chit. Understand? So how pure, what? Therefore, always existence of something you say, how does pure existence, how does pure existence exist? How does pure existence look? Now, you want? A pure existence is pure knowledge. Pure knowledge is pure existence. Understand? Sat. That is why I say everything has its existence in awareness. Awareness is all pervasive. Therefore, there's no space where it can move around. Already it is all pervasive. How can it move? All pervasive thing cannot move from one place to other place. That is why it's thanuhu. And everything is awareness means there's nothing which is not awareness. Awareness, pure awareness is not anything that is perceived, that is known, that is. Understand? But everything is nothing but pure awareness. How is it? Therefore, there is no second thing other than pure awareness. You have to bring Advaitam here. There is no second reality. Second thing is what? There is no second reality other than pure awareness. Reality means one. There is no second reality. Therefore, when you say there is no second reality, therefore there is nothing which can move that. Swayam unmoving, anyenapi unmovable. It doesn't move by itself, it can be moved from one place to other place. Therefore what? Achalaha. That is why mountain is called Achalaha. Mountain is immovable because too heavy, okay? We had to become 10 Bakasuras should get together to move one. Maybe Ravana could move because of his Samaganam. No, but Ravana was able to do that. He moved the mountain by singing. No? Ravana was a great devotee of Shiva and his music now was amazing. That would be not an ordinary person, Ravana, no? He could move the mountain. That we heard about it. Now that to talk about the greatness of the music, the power of musical tones and things, he moved it. But here, but that actually no mountain can be moved. Okay, not that easy. Is anybody who can move the mountain? Even Krishna. I say, who is Krishna again? Who is Krishna stands for what? We only saw this only personification, symbolic. This sweet little Krishna comes, and it was raining. And he wanted all the cows to not get wet and all that. He lifted like with a small finger. That means what? This is not ordinary. Krishna is a personification of awareness, fullness. That is why Krishna could lift it, okay? Krishna could lift means because everything exists in awareness. That is the meaning behind that. They say Govardhana Giridhari. That's why Govardhana, okay, that which exists everything in not just Govardhanam. And that is the whole Jagat is Giri. Whole Jagat is Giri, which has its existence in Go, knowledge. So Govardhana Giri means what? The mountain stands for the whole Jagat. And who is this lifting this small little Krishna's little finger or what? Pure, okay, that means in exists in awareness, the whole Jagat exists. That is what is implied by Govardhana Giridhari. And we imagine if we all think, if it was real, then I would be jealous of Krishna. I can never become, Bhagavatam story can never make me happy. If it was really, it really happened. It's only symbolic of how Krishna stands for the pure awareness. Govardhana Giri means, the Giri, name of the Giri is Govardhana Giri. The Giri stands for the whole Jagat. And what is this Giri? Manifestation of knowledge, Govardhanam. The universe which is manifestation of knowledge does not exist outside of pure knowledge, the awareness. That is what is symbolically implied. All these puny jivas like, Pashu means every jiva, okay? Everything doesn't, that's what is meant. Anyway, there's entirely different thing again. So, yeah, that's true. No, it's nice to you reminded me. I could say something about it. I didn't think of this now. There was a time I used to adore Bhagavad. Even now I adore Bhagavad, but I don't get out of it because I'm very focused today because I want to tell you the sampradaya, how it helps. See how the words and the translations will sound meaningless if really they're not unfolded properly. So I wanted to see this, how systematic it is taken. Timelessness, all pervasiveness, this is spatially limitlessness, then you talk about, So unmoving, immovable means you establish oneness, existence. Okay, timelessness, spatially limitlessness, then existence, as an existence, and you say, one, you establish oneness, oneness of reality. There's no second reality. Therefore, it's also what? Immovable. Okay, achalaha. Chalati, na chalati iti achalaha. That which does not move is achalaha. That's why aruna achalaha, aruna achala. No? Aruna achala, venkata achala. No? We say all achalas. Seshachalam, venkata achalam, aruna achalam, maruda achalam. We have all this achala. Achalaha means a mountain. So here achalaha, reality is said to be achalaha because immovable, because there is no second thing other than reality. What is the second thing must be there to push something. One thing must be pushed, other thing must be pushed. The pushing. What is it which will push? For that to be moved from one place to other place. This is how immovability. Understand? That is why unmoving, immovable. This is how the Shastram helps. Once you say here, when you talk about the existence and the oneness, then you have to say, you resolve everything now. Look at the last one now. I have brought this word sat also, but tell you anantam. So every object, I told you already, light is one. Understand? Light is one. But in the presence of light, the opaque objects which come to light are, you know, varieties of objects come to light. Colors, forms, different shapes, different, you know, makes. All the opaque objects, innumerably countless opaque objects come to light in one light. But every opaque object is what? Is dependent on the light for its existence. Every object is as good as the effect from the standpoint of the illumining light. Therefore, every effect is the cause, but cause is not the effect. Similarly, we say here also, every object being an object of knowledge, every object being an object of knowledge, everything, every existent thing being an object of knowledge. It has no existence outside of knowledge. No knowledge is outside of pure awareness. For no object exists outside of pure awareness. Therefore, awareness is not any object which comes to life. Subtle thought or a gross object external, awareness is not anything, but everything is awareness. Like what? Like water is not any of the thought form, any of the wave form, but every wave form is what? Water. Understand? If water is not different from any of the wave. Therefore, if it is different, you can say one object being different from the other object, no, it is limited by some other object. We can say that two types of flowers, one is white in color, even though there is the same family, same flowers, white and purple, the two colors are there. Even the color difference being there, one is different from the other. The flower and table, entirely different. A living thing and a non-living thing. A living plant, okay, a non-living thing. So they're different. One is different from the other, one limits the other. Okay, if an object is different from another object, that object limits the object which it is differing from. Okay, it's called object limitation. One object being different from another object, one object can limit the other object. Every object in this universe is what? That's a variety, diversity. Everything is different from every other thing. You cannot see the same thing, of the other thing. Everything is different. Even in the same family, you can say everything is different. Amazing, isn't it? There's nothing which is the same. You cannot say. Even if you take the two apples you pluck from that apple tree, they look very much similar, but you can see still one apple is different from the other. Everything is different from everything else here. Therefore, every object has object limitation. But reality has no object limitation. Know why? Like light has no... light is not limited by any of the objects which come to light. Why? Every object has existence where? In light. Similarly here, all the existent objects, subtle and gross, which have their very being existence in pure awareness, in order to become known, which become known in pure existence, in fact, every object is in fact nothing but awareness, because awareness is not any of the objects. Remember this example, water is not any of the waves, but every wave is nothing but water. Therefore, no wave can limit the water. Understand? Why? Because it's not different. No wave is different from the water. Away from the water. Water is different from wave, but waves are different from water. Therefore, it cannot limit. Understand? Whereas, that is why, because awareness is not anything, but everything, nothing is away from awareness. Therefore, everything is awareness. Awareness is free from object limitation also. Therefore, we can very well say, no, Ananta. Understand now? Ananta means what? Endless, limitless. Ananta means limited, limitation. Antaha means limitation. Anantam or Anantaha means what? Limitless. Mainly we say everything. Listen, everything is the reality. So everything is reality means, so we can say, object limitation also is not there. But pure consciousness, the chit, is the sat, the pure existence, is anantam or anandaha, the limitlessness. These are the nature of limitlessness. Now you say, timelessness, spatially limitlessness, and we also say, object-wise limitlessness. Therefore, this time-wise, object-wise, spatially, being limitless, we say, reality is of the nature of limitlessness. That's why this word is very something we have to understand. How do you say pure awareness is of the nature of limitlessness? Limitlessness means how do you understand? That's why Ananta word only what? It implies. The word Anantaha does not, like a tumbler, when I say it directly indicates an object. The word Anantaha does not really, you can even translate it. Limitless. Or some people bliss or something, and then limitless. And limitless, if you said that word, does it directly indicate the reality? Does it show you? No. Swarupam. Every word, sat also is what? A word which implies, which reveals the swarupam of the reality. Chit also implies the swarupam of the reality. The nature of the reality. Anantam also reveals the swarupam of the reality. Swarupam, understand now. If you have understood chit, then you understand sat, then you can also understand what now? Anantam. We say here, limitlessness is, anantam we can say, limitless means, limitlessness is the nature of the reality. How? Again, limitlessness means in terms of what? It is why you have to remember this. Time-wise limitless, spatially limitless, object-wise also limitless. How time-wise limitless? How spatially limitless? How object-wise limitless? You have understood now. How did you understand? Because you know what the pure awareness is, how it is. Understand? Then we say, yes, reality is of the nature of sat, chit, anandaha. In fact, being the reality is being limitless. Being limitless is being happy. If you remain in your own place, you are yourself, you are limitless, you are happy. Any wrong identity means you are not in your place. You don't place yourself in your place. Understand? Then we become limited. Your being limited is being unhappy. That's why we say happiness is a synonym of the word limitlessness. Look at this. You can never understand the meaning of the word happiness without having understood the meaning of the word limitlessness. I swear. Chumma kada illana. It must be only vague understanding. There's no real understanding. I can assure you. Therefore, shabda pramanam. If we come back to the class now. It's not, I didn't want to think I didn't do the class all this time. Why I want to say? How shabda, shastrasya shabdaha, katam pramanat, katam shastra shabdanam pramanyam. Now, how do the words of the shastram have the status of being, the valid means of knowledge? How? Because they only reveal this swarupam. Satyam jnanam anantam brahma. It says, Satyupada says, okay? First he says, Atmaviti shokam tartam. Brahma, it starts like this, okay? Look at this. Brahma vida apnoti param. It tells, Brahma vida apnoti param. If Brahma with Param Apnoti. Three words. All of you can learn Sanskritam today. Okay? Brahma with Param Apnoti. Param Apnoti attains. Adehiran. Apnoti attains. What does he attain? Param. Param means what? Absolute. What is absolute? Happiness. Mokshaha. Absolute is the moksha. What is absolute? That which stays forever. Okay? That which does not change. That which is there forever. That which is desirable for all the people. That which is desirable everywhere. That which is desirable for everybody. That is his param. What is it which is desirable always, everywhere, for all the people? Happiness. Mokshaha. Freedom from limitations. Okay? Mokshaha. Therefore, moksha is the param. Brahma vida apnoti param. And who is the one who attains that? Brahma vid. What does the word Brahma vid mean? The knower of Brahman. The one who knows Brahman attains moksha, attains the absolute. Everlasting sukham, nitya nirantara sukham prapnoti. This is the sentence. First, like it begins like this. Brahma vid param apnoti. So that sentence also says what? Abrahma with param na apnoti. Okay, one who does not know the reality can never attain moksha, can never understand what happiness is. The one who does not know what the word Brahman is, what the word Brahman implies, the one who does not know the reality can never understand what happiness is. The one who does not understand what happiness is can never be happy. Okay, not understanding is what? Not attaining, not having. We'll be bound. He'll be ever bound. Therefore, Brahmavit Param Apnoti. So if the person wants to know, okay, what is that Brahman? Let me know what Brahman is. The Indian interest comes. Then the teacher has to say, okay, Satyam jnanam anantam brahma. Look, first sentence tells the clue. Then he becomes interested in knowing Brahman. If I am Brahmavit, I can attain param. Then what is Brahman? Then the definition. Okay, it comes here. Satyam jnanam anantam brahma. A Brahman, satyam jnanam anantam. Read the translation, can you understand?
That is why these words, these every word is a definition. How does it define? I have talked about so much. I cannot go into details now. I'll keep it for next class, next session. Next session means what? Next time when I meet. I had to talk about all lakshanas. Swarupa lakshana, tatastha lakshana, all those things. I'm not going into details now. Let me tell you this much, this for this session. Okay? Every word, you know, implies the nature of reality. Implying. Okay? Defining word, not, it's not an adjective like. Understand? So here every word reveals the swarupam. Satyam. So Brahman is what now? Satyam also Brahma. Satyam Brahma. What is the word? Existence is reality. Existence is the nature of the reality. It means, I already told you, you have to remember that reality is the subtlest vastu. Therefore, it has to be understood in terms of its surupam. Therefore, you have to understand what is pure existence to understand how the reality is. Understand? Satyam Brahma. Existence is the nature of the reality. Then, surupam of the reality. Okay? Then, say, Jnanam Brahma. Pure knowledge, or we can say this word chitna, we use all these words. Pure knowledge, pure consciousness, pure awareness. Okay? Knowledge is the nature of the reality. I can say knowing is the reality. I taught you in the class. Okay? Knowledge is the nature of the reality. Knowing is the nature of the reality. Consciousness, being conscious, being ever conscious is the nature of the reality. Okay? Being aware. Awareness is the nature of reality. So, Jnanam Brahma. Then, Anantam Brahma. Limitlessness is the nature of the reality. Anantam means limitlessness is the nature of reality. Okay. This what is Brahman? Reality is what? Another Brahman is another word which to mean Brahman, reality. How do we understand? That is why if you have, I had to know the reality, the Brahman, then I should know its nature. What is its nature? Existence. What is existence? How can you understand? No. First you have to understand Jnanam, Chit. How can you understand? Knowing is the nature of the reality. Knowledge is the nature of the reality. That is why how it is, where it is available as Jnanam, how it has to be arrived at, how these prakriyas are useful, understand? I don't say people, there's so many confusions about what about people who are not exposed to Shastram? Can they never be, then that means they have to remain bound forever or what? I'm not talking about anything. I'm only saying how beautifully Shastram helps you to understand. Then we say, therefore, understand Jnanam. And after understanding, so Chitti is very important to understand first. Jnana Swarupam have to understand. Only based on the understanding of the, you know, the Swarupam of the reality implied by the word Chit, through these methods, Drik Drishya, etc., methods, then you understand how it is time-wise, limitless. No, timelessness of the reality, you understand. Eternity of the reality, you understand. Then the spatially limitlessness of the reality, you understand. How thereby you understand how it is the very existence of everything. You understand pure existence. Chit being pure Chit, you understand. And thereafter you also say how it is, no, limitlessness. How it is Anantam. Limitlessness is the nature of the reality. So limitlessness is the nature of the reality means you say time-wise limitless. There are three possible limitations. Time limitation, spatial limitation and object limitation. These are the three possible limitations for any object in this world. Therefore we say here this time-wise limitless, being spatially limitless and being object-wise limitless. That's why we say limitlessness. Okay, being free from these threefold limitations is being limitless.
Okay, being free from these threefold limitations is being limitless, and being limitless is limitlessness, and limitlessness is the nature of the reality, which is pure consciousness. Understand? And thereafter you say, oh, Brahma also is what? No. That is why this reality, which is the very existence of the whole cosmos, Sat, which is the pure knowledge, which is of the nature of knowing, and which is of the nature of limitlessness, which is time-wise, spatially, object-wise, limitless reality, really speaking, nothing which is bigger than this reality is the biggest of the big, okay? It is the biggest, in fact, it is the limitlessly big. Therefore, we can say, Brihatvat Brahma, that reality is also what? Implied by another word, Brahma. That which is, okay, limitlessly big is, incomparably limitlessly big is Brahman. Again, Brahman also is what? Implying word. Does it directly, doesn't directly show you? Unless you understand Sattva, Chitta, Anantham, you can't understand, okay? Without having understood Chitta, you cannot understand Sattva and Anantham. Without having understood these three words, you can't understand what the word Brahman means. Is it clear now? Brihatvat Brahma. Due to its bigness, it's called Brahman. How big it is? Incomparably limitlessly big. How limitlessly big? You have already understood. No? It's limitlessly big. It's free from all three limitations. What is it which is Brahman? What is it which is Sat? What is it which is Chit? What is it Anantam? Is nothing but pure awareness is the reality. Where is I sitting now? Where is this I? First person, second person, third person. All the differences, singular, plural, all these differences resolved where? Huh? Brahman. That is why next sentence, the Upanishad is very beautiful. Brahma vidha apnoti param tadesha bhyukta satyam jnanam anantam brahma. But where should you know that Brahman? Yo veda nihitam guhayam parame vyoman. Yo veda nihitam guhayam. That Brahman is available for recognition, guhayam nihitam. Okay, remains hidden in your soul, buddhi guha. Look at this. Where it is available for recognition? If everything is Brahman, then why can't I know everywhere? Everywhere it's available. Because reality is the subtlest. It has to be understood in terms of its swarupam. Therefore, you have to go to the subtlest of the manifestations. What is which is subtlest of the manifestations? The antahkaranam, the buddhi guha, the cave of mind. Why do you call it a cave? Because so many thoughts you have to, you have to just see it as an object, 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 object. Where is the subject? You have to go. Go to the dead end of the cave, no? How long should you be walking into the cave? That is why buddhi is likened to a cave. You keep on walking. Every thought is an object of knowledge. Oh, where is the subject? Where is the knower? You have to keep on going. At last you end up. Fine. That is why buddhi is likened to a cave. That is why Murugan is called a guhan. Understand? Why Murugan is called a guhan? Because guhayam vasushati iti guhaha. Understand? Manamennum guhil ulundirpavan. Same Upanishadic expression. Guhayam. Nihitaha. This is Subramanya. Lord Subramanya is meant to be Tamil Kadaval. Okay? Lot of Tamils. Lot of everybody only. But everybody, but people worship him. Well, mainly that particular form and name is worshipped in Tamil Nadu. Especially by also Sri Lanka Tamils. Mainly. All Tamil Nadu. Now, Subramanya, you say Gujarat means you have to use the different words for the same God, Kartikeya. Have to talk to Rupala, I had to talk about Kartikeya, not about Murugan. A particular word Murugan is used only in Tamil Nadu. And then we say, and that one word is common everywhere, Guhaha.
Now Guhaha is Guhan. Murugan, one of the names of the Lord is Guhan. Anyway, this contest I want to tell you. It's okay. This is how the, I just wanted to say how these pramanas, I'll come back to this, how all these pramanas do not work in arriving at the swarupam of the reality, and how shabda pramanam alone works. Shabda pramanam also, how, which shabda pramanam, the words of the shastram reveal the swarupam of the vastu. Because the words of the shastram only reveal the swarupam of the vastu, even reading that those translations of those words, you can't understand yourself. Those words have to be unfolded. Then you understand. Then what you have to struggle and having you have understood. Now you see this, what you have understood today by reading more and more and more. Suppose Upanishad after Upanishad, you will be understanding the same thing what you have understood today, but little elaborately, little more, the enhanced clarity. When you understand, the clarity enhances. Okay? Slightly the vagueness will be removed. Then a class itself will become what? Contemplation. And you can never miss the vastu. You can never miss the vastu. Understand? So always being with the vastu is what? Being in meditation. Remaining with the vastu is being in meditation. Then that is how you become, the shravanam becomes meditation. Shravanam becomes mananam. Okay? Mananam also becomes meditation. Then really, later on, same again shravanam becomes what? Contemplation. Therefore, any practice of any meditation, I don't say it is useless, very useful. Nama japa, mantra japa, whatever sort of, you sit quietly and try to focus attention on anything, that means that helps the agitated, distracted mind, jumping mind, slowly is brought to at least one thing. That is how the mind which is scattered in too many things can be brought to one thing. That is how you have to develop the concentration. That is how you develop your single-pointedness. So this was in steadying the mind, for steadiness of the mind, to free the mind from agitations. Definitely, this sort of meditation, nama japa, mantra japa, or any practice of meditation, technique, any meditative technique which helps you to be focused is useful. But know the limitation of it. What it can do, what it cannot do. It's very useful to do that. That will contribute, okay? That will help you for this study of Shastram, understanding of the Shastras, etc. Very useful. But that is not the end of, means you are being mistaken for the ultimate end. So, Shabda Pramanam also, I said little bit. What I should talk about the Pramanas, initially, the first level I have talked, okay? And whatever has been said more about Pramanas, I'll say when we meet next session like this. This is over. This topic is over. Pramana topic. I just finished. For the beginner's level, I finished. Have you got any questions regarding this? And I'm going to go to the next, entirely new topic now, later on.
Yes, I have one question for you. You talked about everything comes into being in the midst of light. And if the light, I'm sorry, I'm not saying this beautifully and expressively to you, but are you saying that an object does not exist outside of light? If an object cannot be in light, it can still be felt, therefore it still exists even in darkness.
In terms of light and opaque objects, okay. In terms of awareness, an object, okay, object is as good as non-existent. An object is as good as non-existent if it is not known.
Oh, I took what you said literally.
No, that's why you have to listen to a lot of classes.
This no, even I tell you, listening to, see, that's why Shastra Shravanam is very important, I tell you. When you listen, repeat, people think, people mistake, I tell you. People, many people think Swami repeats. It's not I am repeating. Shankara, if you read Shankaracharya's Bhashyam, will understand how repetitive he is. Not repeating. Because the repeatedly you have to listen to certain things. Then that is how mind is made subtle. Now the very teaching is begun. Now with understanding the every human mind, irrespective of how intelligent the person is, every mind is gross. According to Shastra, the mind has to be made subtle first, then to inject, okay, to teach, to make the mind see the subtle facts. That is why teaching. All makes you think and, you know, it makes, mind is made subtle. This is very important for the, that is why, I don't say we are not sharp enough, I don't talk about the intelligence or sharpness of person. Everybody is equally sharp and intelligent, provided we use it. Okay? That's all. And here, but what happens, this things, examples are, should be understood as example. Because it's only to help you to understand. When I say opaque object, really speaking, opaque object comes to light in the presence of light. When I say opaque object, is called very opaque. The very word opaque tells it, is, it cannot come to light by itself. If it doesn't come to light, it is as well as non-existent. Ariyappadatha porul irundhalum illatha maadhiri. Understand? Unknown object, the known object which is not known, does not come to light, is as well as non-existent. When does the object has the status of being an existent? When does it? No? The object itself has the status of being an existent only when it comes to light, only when it is known. That is why whole jagat, when we say, understand? Just an example this is here. That is why it's very much dependent. That's why we say, what is that which lends existence in terms of bringing it to light? Light lends existence to the opaque object. Opaque object borrows existence from the light. Understand? Therefore, we say that which lends existence is as good as the cause. That which borrows existence is as good as the effect. Then we say this, no? It doesn't exist outside of the cause. There's no existence independent of, outside of, apart from the cause. Similarly, we just say the whole jagat is jadaprapanchaha. Look at this. Jadaprapanchaha. Jadaprapanchaha means, when you say the prapanchaha, why it is very word prapanchaha says what? Because it is manifest, we only see panchabhyaha bhutebhyaha jataha iti. No, it is manifestation of, because we look at it as five elemental model. Five elemental model is this cosmos. And these elements are inert in nature. So the elemental products are also inert in nature. See, no object in this universe, no object in this universe knows its own existence. Come on, tell me that. This is how you have to understand the meaning of inertness. Jadatvam, or you also say jadyam. Jadyam or jadatvam means inertness. Tamil also we have the word jadatthanmai. Jadama iruttal. Not this jata. That is, jata is different. Right? Jata is different from jada. Okay? Jata means, okay, that is different. Or matted locks of hair. That is jata. Because jada, because all this you have to remember, huh? The regional languages, see, we don't have no problem. You people no problem, huh? All Indians have these problems. Jata, jada, okay. So here, you know what I'm saying? I'm not differentiating, because the words which we are not exposed, the regional language has sort of, it confuses also.
So jadyam, all of you can know the word jadyam or jadatvam means inertness. Jadamayirukkum tanmai. What do we mean by jadamayirutthal? What do you mean by jadyam? What do you mean by inertness? Not knowing its own existence. That which does not know its own existence is inert. In this universe, nothing knows its own existence. Please see this. If you analyze, think and see. Whether a sentient being or insent doesn't matter. Even a sentient thing you can take. Okay, living plant, a living worm, living insect, okay, living bird, a living animal, any living organism you take, a non-living thing also you can you take. Chetanam or achetanam, sentient or insentient, everything in this universe we can say is inert. Sentient also is inert. Insentient also is inert. How do we say this? How do you say the whole jagat is inert? That is why I said that which does not know its own existence. Okay, the human buddhi is so bright, no? It looks at everything and it gives names. That's why it knows. Amazing human mind. We always say everything we name. Tree. Look at this tree. You see something, tree. Does the tree know it is a tree? There is life. I do not deny the life being there. But is there knowledge that it is a tree? No. And then we also say, tree means roots, tap roots, okay, side roots, trunk, branches, leaves, fruits, flowers. Which part is aware of its own existence? And there are many functions also happening. Which function is aware of its own existence? There is photosynthesis, there is absorption of water, there is respiration, okay? Which function is known? Just happen. Everything is happening. Understand? There's no knowledge. And this is what we see, always sentient things are mistaken for, you know, something. Nothing is aware of its own existence. Tannirupai thane ariyamai. Tannirupai thane ariyadhu ellam jadam. That which, anything which does not know its own existence is inert. If you see, everything is inert. What about the intelligent body? Okay, come to your own body. I talked about in our class many times. So a mountain does not know it's a mountain, what it is. A river does not know it's a river. So living there, worm does not know it's a worm. Elephant does not know it's an elephant. Your physical body does not know it is a body. You say this is a body. Does the body say, I am the body? What is body again? Does the nerve say it is a nerve? Does the blood say it is a blood? The cell say it is a cell? Look at this.
What is the difference between chetana, achetana and jadam and...
That's what I'm talking now. I'm saying. Is it clear now? See, who can say? See, for the person who is conscious, look at this. As an intelligent human being, you differentiate. Come on, this is insentient wood. Okay? That is a sentient tree. Even though it has come from that, understand? Now, we can say insentient, non-living thing. It has no life, we say. We don't say consciousness is not there. It has no life, okay? There's no life here. Because it doesn't grow, doesn't do anything. There's no function takes place here.
function should take place, then we can say there is, even though we talk about molecular motion, all those things, very subtle. Okay? We say it is lifeless. And the tree is living. You see the dead body of an insect, a dead insect, you see, it is a non-living. Just the jadam. Okay? A non-living thing, you can say inert. I mean, you can say the insentient. You say the full of life, a butter which flies, you can say living. This is what we say, the living and non-living. The living is chetanam. Non-living is achetanam. Sentient is chetanam, insentient is achetanam. Mobile is charam, acharam is immobile. Characharam jagat. There are mobile beings, like human beings, movement, insects, all mobile charam. And acharam means what? Sthavara. Immobile. That like they're all living, but still immobile. Like plants, etc. Sthavara means immobile. Stationed beings. Okay. So mobile, immobile. We have living and non-living things. Of the living things, mobile and immobile beings. Understand? But now we say, sthavara, jangama, mobile, immobile, chara, achara, mobile, immobile, chetana, achetana, insentient and sentient, everything is jadam. Everything is jadam means what? Everything is inert. Jada prapanchaha. The whole cosmos is jadam. Inert in its nature. That means what? When you say jada prapancha, you have to include what? Your body, mind, sense complex. Okay, I taught you how you have to include everything in the jada prapancha. Jadam means what? That which does not know its own existence. Is there a knowledge? Is it a self-existence?
So anything material is...
No, that's why I say the whole jadam, prapanchaha.
Anything material.
It doesn't matter. Anything, everything is material. Every whole jagat is material. Matter is inert in its nature. So the material product universe also, model also is what? This was five elements and the elementals. The original matter also is jadam. Therefore material product also jadam in nature. Does not know its existence. Simple. The matter in its original form is jadam. So the material products, the manifest, the modified form of matter is also what? Jadam in nature, inert in nature. That means there is no knowledge of self-existence. Understand? Nothing knows its own existence.
So it's inertness, ignorance. Are you interchanging?
Inertness is in fact ignorance also, I can say. Yeah. You know? But I can say this because without using the word ignorance, I can say inertness is ignorance also. But ignorance also comes under inertness only. But inertness implies what? Matter. Matter and the material products. Matter and its modifications. Matter and its modifications are what now? Inert things. Therefore, then because it does not know its own existence, do you think it can know the existence of anything else other than it? The tree does not know it is a tree. Can the tree know there is a trunk and there is a thing and all that? No. Or there's the other living beings living around? No. Everything else is inert. And we come to our body. Our body also is inert. Not only dead body is inert. Look at this. Dead body is achetanam. Dead body is achetanam. The body which is alive is what? Chetanam. But chetanam body also does not know its own existence. Of course, dead body cannot know its own existence. And what about our senses? What about our pranas? You think. What about our antahkaranam? What about our every thought form? Anger or desire or every thought form? Nothing knows its own existence. That means, but everything is. Look at this. Everything is. But this easiness of everything, understand? What is that? That is why we say, that is why we have to talk about the pure awareness. Now look at it, how beautiful it is. I just see like this. Everything is, everything which is inert means, the inert thing has the status of being existent. Understand? How? Being evident. By becoming evident. Look at this. Inert thing is called anything, see, matter and the material products are inert in nature. Why? Because they do not know nothing. No material product has its own existence, knowledge of its own existence. Therefore, but still, even the inert object, every inert thing has the status of being an existent. By becoming evident. Understand? So what is that it becomes evident to? There must be evidence. That evidence is what? Pure awareness. Evidence is pure awareness.
Swami, what do you mean by pure?
No, pure means, look at this, light is here. In the light, there is light. I say, in the light, my hand is seen now. Even now, light is what? Pure only. Object, okay, the illumined object and the light. Light is, illumined object also is there in the light. Even now, light is pure. Understand? But object has gone. Still the light continues to be there. What is it now? Now we can say, light with object, pure light. Pure light means what? Light without object. Understand? Is it clear? Is it clear or not? Similarly, awareness, pure awareness means awareness in which inert jagat comes to light. Awareness in which the inert jagat becomes evident. And the jagat becomes unmanifest, the pure awareness still there. See, even when the jagat is evident, even then awareness is always pure. I want say pure awareness means, when the jagat is not there also, awareness is pure awareness. Just the mean itself.
You said knowledge itself is an object. Oh, it's not subject, it's an object. Is understanding different? Is there a difference between understanding and knowledge? Or as it said?
See, knowledge and understanding are all thoughts, thought forms. That's why I talk about the pure knowledge. The thought form which has its existence, okay, which becomes evident too, okay, evident, is a thought, and that to which the knowledge being there is evident, we call pure knowledge. Pure knowledge is consciousness. Understanding is a thought form. Knowledge also is a thought form. Almost the same. Different thought forms, that's all. Almost the same. Understanding, knowledge, cognition, perception, very, very close. They're all thoughts. They're not even understanding and knowledge. I can say, well understood, again, degree of understanding makes it knowledge.
So does the knowledge becomes subtler and subtler?
No. Knowledge is subtle thought form. Knowledge doesn't become subtle.
So how can...
enhanced. The clarity becomes enhanced, I said. Telivu viriyum sonna. You understand certain things, again further vagueness, some vagueness may be there, that goes, that is enhancing of clarity. Because subtlest, only in terms of understanding this reality I am talking. See, now you must be knowing what you understood in the previous classes, what you understood yesterday, what you understood yesterday. Is there a slightest degree of at least a thin layer of vagueness been removed or not? Just tell me. Yes, it's because you've been spending such a very precious time here. Because I don't want to know. Swamiji always says sin on the part of the teacher. If I really, you know, it is intrusion to one's privacy, if I make you waste your time sitting in front of me. It is a papa karma, it's a himsa. I don't want to do the papa karma, really.
Again, this question of jadam and sentience. My understanding of sentience is that anything that is capable of perception or feeling is sentience.
Yeah, I only said living thing. A living thing.
Yes.
Okay, we can say, suppose sentient means, we generally say any living thing. And then, second thing, so perception means...
The question is not finished. At the same time, you said, sentient as well as insentience can be jada. I don't understand this, you know, I mean, how can it be jada?
No, jada means what? That's why I said, a living thing, a non-living thing, and an inert thing. Of the living also, there is something, okay, which is inert. Of the non-living thing also, something which is inert. Do you get the point what I'm saying? Okay? Living thing also, suppose I said, whether it is a non-living wood, okay, a life, wood without life, wood with life, if we say this, and then all the functions take place, they say something is, you know, is happening and all that, but still, both are inert, I say. This wood does not know that it is wood. Non-maram. Okay? This wood does not know. Similarly, that wood also does not know it is, there's no knowledge that it is, there's life, here there's no life. That's the difference.
But what about the human beings?
Human being means, an individual means a combination of everything. Yeah. I told you already. Even if you analyze, okay, we're going to do the different type of post-mortem of a human being. There's different type of post-mortem of a human being. What is a post-human being? Human being is only mind is human being, or only senses are human beings, or the mind is, or these pranas are human being, or the physical body is a human being. Everything put together is what? Intelligently put together is a being, human being. And here, many things which constitute the human being, if you take every small thing separately, inert, jadam. Your nail does not know it's a nail, otherwise it'll jump and say, come on, don't cut me. Understand, every time you cut it. That is what I'm saying, the nail is jadam, your hair is jadam, not only your hair is jadam, what is here, the life is there, because the, see, there it is sentient, here insentient, you can cut it. Here again, in the same living body also, you have sentient and insentient. The nail which grows is insentient, that's why you can cut it.
So the components of a human being,
even though,
individual,
see,
individually is jadam.
Yes.
That's right. Individually is jadam,
yes.
All those things, but not everything put together.
No, so the very purpose is to help you arrive at what is that awareness. How awareness is not any of this jadam thing. Awareness, okay, the awareness, being aware, the vastu which is of the nature of being aware, is different, okay, from all these jadam things. Look at this. I think this is, it really you have to think. This is how you have to start thinking. Because what happens from childhood, we always think of living things and non-living things. Animate, inanimate. Okay, anything inanimate for us, no? Only jadam. Animate things all mistaken for something we have our own understanding. The word inertness has to be, that is why, no, absence of knowledge of self-existence. Okay? If this inertness has to be understood. That is why if you analyze everything, all these things together constitute a being. But human being is the most sophisticated. So we say most sophisticated because you can say, I am a human being. Look at this. You can say you are a human being. That is why you are most sophisticated. Exalt of all the beings. You are a self-conscious being. And what is self-conscious being? I am a human being. Not only a self-conscious, you are conscious of things around. That is a tree, this is a board, this is light, this is red carpet. You are conscious of things around. This is good, this is bad, I have to be careful. My God, amazing, human being is amazing manifestation here. You know you are, you also know what is around. You know you are, you know also know what is around. That is the human mind, is amazing hardware. Okay, you know you are, you also know what is around.
What's the origin of the word human? What is being and human being? What is human being?
No, let's talk with Dr. Petran. No, what else I wanted to hear?
Swami, the difference between a human being who is alive and one who is not alive, is it because you say that, you know, our body is inert,
I just said dead or alive, everybody is inert.
Right, so I was just going to say
so dead body is inert, okay? Alive body also is inert. Even though the dead body, alive body is inert, still live body cannot be cremated because it will feel the heat. We can't. That is the one. Dead body can be cremated. So what? That is the one. That is why what is that which makes this dead body a live body is the sukshma, subtle with the indweller. Understand? And what it is not the, understand, the indweller. So sukshma makes this life, gives this life. Understand? That is why one goes crematorium. It is there, all importance. I had to take it. Amazing, isn't it? Look at this. And even subtle, which makes this life alive, that is also inert. Look at this. That is why you came to say evidence and evident. This session really is just to make you think and just to be. Understand? This is how you had to really come slowly, things had to become clear. This whole perception has to change. I don't deny, okay, human being is superior and we are self-conscious, you are aware of things around. That is why this human mind, where there is self-consciousness, is capable of discovering the very awareness where it exists. Okay, tannirupaye aridal. Understand? That's why I told you many times, the mind recognizing its own existence. This amazing human mind, which is also a material product, understand? The mind, which is the subtlest of the manifestations, which is also matter, material in nature, this mind, where there is self-consciousness, okay, I am, this knowledge also is what vritti thought form. What is this thought form? Nobody has analyzed, the rishis have discovered this. I am also is a knowledge, which is also a thought form, which is, why, how it's a thought form? How did they, because the thought form does not know it's a thought form, understand? But it is there, and there's a time it resolves within the realm of a function, given order. And when it is not there, there's something, when it is there, it is something, it is, this being there is, the thought being there, is known, the thought being not there is known. What is it which is always there, being aware of what is not? And being aware is not an action, it is surupam. Why does consciousness know my privacy, okay? Whether I'm there or not, why should it be knowing you? Understand? That's why we always say, one whose eyes cannot be shut, closed, never, that's why always sees. That is why in that being, in that pure awareness, all the laws exist. That's why in simple village language we say Airam Kannudayal. Okay. And our Purusha Suktam says Sahasra Shirsha Purushaha Sahasraksha Sahasrapat Na Sabhumim Vishvato Vritva Atyatishtad Dashangulam Purusha yevedagum sarvam yadbhutai yachabhoyam. Whatever was, whatever is, whatever will be, everything is that awareness. So that is why human being is most superior, because of the self-consciousness, because you are the only being who knows that you are. And even Shastram comes and tells, come on, don't be proud of your knowledge. You also know you are, but you do not know who you are. Where you are. Who you are and where you are. You know you are, but you do not know where you are. Understand? Where you are. You are. Fine. Where you are. People always ask only who you are. But I can say where you are. Where are you? You are okay. Where are you? If you do not know where are you, that means you feel so insecure. Understand how? Therefore, when you discover where you are, you have discovered swasthanam. Understand? This way, the knowledge I am, if the where does this knowledge I am exist? Where is it? What is the origin of it? Is what? Swasthanam jnanam. Okay? Swasthanam is what? You know you are, you do not know where you are. What you are actually. When you know that, you have discovered your own swasthanam. Swasthanam means what? Swasthanam, one's own place, one's own location. Tanirupu. One's own location, swasthanam. See, one who is Shastram says, one who has discovered, okay, one's own place, adha vandhadhukke poradhan solradhu. Understand? There's no coming, there's no going. When you're ignorant, you're away. When you're discovered, you're reached. Understand? So discovering is reaching. So when you are ignorant, you're away. You're away from that. When you discovered it, you're that. You don't even reach it. That is why swasthanam means what? So knowing the swarupam of the mind. Knowing the existence of the mind, knowing the reality of the mind, where this is. How do you discover? You discover where this knowledge am exist. Okay? That is what, when you discover it, you know where you are, who you are. Then you have discovered swasthanam. Swasthanam. Sthanam is place. Swasthanam, one's own place. One who has discovered one's own place is who? The healthy person. Shastram says, swastaha. Swastaha means what? Tannidathil irupavan swastaha. Healthy. If you are yourself, you are healthy. If you are not yourself, you are unhealthy. According to Shastram, psychologically, you are not that healthy. You physically healthy, you are all healthy. According to Shastram, all of us are not. Okay. Swastaha means what? Swastaha means perfectly healthy. In Sanskrit language, I tell you very beautiful. Healthy, to use the word healthy, swastaha, saha swastaha. And sick means, suppose somebody is sick, you have to say aswastaha. Tana irupavan swastan, healthy. Matradavah irupavan, unhealthy. One who has discovered one's location, one's place, one's abode, okay, where one is, where you are, then you are swastaha. Swasthane tishtati swastaha. Swasthyam means health. Swasthyam means health. Being yourself. I think the WHO, the World Health Organization, has a beautiful quotation. I used it once in one of my talks. I don't know. I forgot actually. The very beautiful words, WHO, has that somebody quote from India, some Chennai. Some nice, based on some this meaning. Anyway, swastaha, healthy, swasthyam, health, and who is swastaha? The one who has discovered, okay, one's own place, where you are, where am I, what am I. And we also in Puranas, we are the snake, no? The snake, when it's crawling on the crawling somewhere on the floor, if it happens to see the eagle, it will be scared. It will go and hide itself. The snake, if it is crawling on the ordinary, suppose floor somewhere, if it happens to, you know, suppose make out that the eagle is flying above, it will be scared of, frightened of the eagle and go and hide itself. But the snake now, that is because always it's scared. But the snake
In this Puranas present, the snake becomes ornament for Lord Shiva. So, that's why we sing, Pannaga Bhushana Parama Shiva. It becomes ornament for Lord Shiva. Because Bhagavan, you see, the snake goes and sits there on the head, and the neck of Lord Shiva. And then it sees the eagle like this. No way. It's not scared, it's not frightened anymore. No, there's also a Tamil song like this. Paramashivan kait in the pambu kait. Then it talks, not only doesn't hide itself. Garuda, Saukima, how are you, Garuda? It takes sitting on the neck of Lord Shiva, it asks Garuda, how are you? That sort of guts, no? Where, how does it get? Its own place. Understand? So that Garuda, that the significance is, snake asking the eagle, how are you, implies this is completely fearless. Why? Healthy. Why healthy? It's in its proper place. Bhagavan. Okay, Shiva. And then it is fearless. Similarly, if you are yourself, if you are yourself, if you discover where you are, what you are yourself, and you are fearless, you are healthy. It's nice that we have that. It's all highly... See, we never see these meanings, okay? Huh? Oh. I think you're hungry now? Nobody seems to be hungry now. Oh no, okay. Let me stop now. Huh?
We are in our place.
Yeah. A few more questions about the Rishya. We'll come back after that.
Yeah. Now, I had an important topic because I want you all of you, want all of you to go back with a serious... commitment to start doing a japam, regular japam. Because we have to start somewhere, okay? We understand all these things. Now we know really we are not doing something meaninglessly. Therefore, when you go back, really, therefore, to know the, to do a japam, to be committed in practicing a japam regularly, doing a japam, sort of spiritual sadhana, you know, japam. And if you have any other practice of, you know, the thing also, okay. But with this understanding, when you do it, and it's very important, I don't want to give up the worship or prayer. And it's very, very important. That's why I want to say something about it in the following session. Okay? With a little bit of understanding of Ishvara, the word. Om Purnamadah Purnamidam Purnat Purnamudachyate Purnasya Purnamadaya Purnameva Vasishyate Om Shanti 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 Harihi Om Tat Sat Shri Gurubhyo Namaha Harihi Om.